fear most in football staring you right in the face?
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Let's go. Grody is at Halas Hall. He was there today. He files this report. Hello, Groats.
Let's go is right, Lawrence and Matt. We are back, and it feels good. Report day out here at Halas Hall for training camp 2025. Ben Johnson's first camp as the top dog. That's going to be a lot of the buzz here early on. The first practice is tomorrow morning, bright and early, 8 a.m. They're making it hard on everybody. No, that's cool. I like the sort of 9-to-5 day. So that's what's going on out here. But there is news that I want to start with you guys. And that is centering on Jalen Johnson. As everybody knows, or maybe you don't know, Jalen Johnson was placed on the NFI list, the non-football injury list. He suffered a leg injury while training, according to the GM, Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles went on to say that for Jalen Johnson, it will be, quote, a few weeks before he is able to talk about returning. Ryan Poles also said that he's not overly concerned that this is a long-term injury. And, of course, everybody should be a little bit concerned when your best defensive player is out. Now, I want to be very careful here with what I'm about to say about Jalen Johnson, because this is just things that go through reporters' minds when something like this happens. Dan Weider and I just recorded the Take the North podcast, and we went back and looked something up back in the year 2022. Roquan Smith was still with the Chicago Bears. Roquan Smith checks in to training camp. We knew that he was not happy with his contract. The next day, he was placed on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list. Now, I'm not saying, and neither is Dan, that this has anything to do with the Jalen Johnson uttering those comments to Seth Rollins, who was filling in on the Rich Eisen show in regards to Jalen Johnson's contract. But it's just so, like, honestly, this borders, guys, on jaded reporter minds, thinking like going back to that and thinking about that. So I don't think that that's what this is, because I just can't imagine that after getting, and people don't know what I'm talking about, Jalen Johnson was kind of making, like, sounded coy about some of these other cornerbacks passing him up. He was top five in cornerbacks at the way they're paid, and now he's like top 15. So he made, you know, offhand comments like, oh man, maybe I need to revisit these questions about my contract. I don't think this is what it is, guys, but that's the kind of stuff that goes through reporters' minds. And when you look back, literally, I was gathered around Weider's computer, and we were going through some of the exact quotes from 2022. And it was the very next day that Roquan was placed on PUP. I hope that's not what's going on with Jalen Johnson.
So we had a good conversation earlier about many things regarding this day, and among them was whether to be concerned with Jalen Johnson and the leg injury and a few weeks. And I am markedly not concerned if it's something physical, because, you know, we're very far away from games that matter, and Jalen is a dude.
Not that far away.
We're pretty far away. But anyway, so we have a little bit of a disagreement there. But if it was something like Grody's talking about, then of course I'd be concerned. I'd be annoyed and all of that. I don't think it is. Lawrence, do you think it is?
I don't think it's that. I think that it probably is an injury. And I know that Jalen had been out in the community a lot lately. I know that Caitlin Sharkey got an interview with him. I think Cassie Carlson did too at his camp. So,
because that would suck, man. It, like, making it about him when, like, on a,
when things are getting ready to turn.
Yeah, that would really, really suck.
It would. I don't
want to preemptively indict him either. It's just what goes through our minds as all three of us here in this conversation. We've all covered the Bears, whether from a hosting chair or from a locker room view, for decades.
Yeah, it would. What goes through my mind is a guy being hurt and the general manager saying a few weeks. Like, that's a few weeks could mean he misses those joint practices.
It's
scary when you're talking about a guy that is changing defenses, that even though I know he knows what to do in those defenses, there's a difference between knowing it and drilling it and repping it. And any time that's missed in that installation of a new defense, to me, is unsettling.
Understood. Well, I think we'll have a few weeks for you to try and get me to Concern Town, and I'll see.
Well,
as the mayor of Worry Town, can get me to rent.
If we get to a place a few weeks from now where it doesn't look like he's going to rejoin them and be like full go immediately, I think a lot of people are going to be buying houses over in Worry Town.
I have no plans to invest at this point. Mark Grody, Caleb Williams talked. We got to talk Caleb and Ben and Poles and everybody. Take us to the sound.
We got a lot of good stuff to sift through here. And I'll just say, like, one of my goals was today, especially with the sound from Caleb Williams. Look, I wanted to get past the "we're excited, we're here, yay, yay, yay." All that stuff happened. It's another year. He's excited. He's ready to go. This is year two. He wants to be elite. All that stuff. But let's get right into it with Caleb Williams. This man was sacked 68 times last year, and guess what? Caleb Williams was very specific on what he needs to do better from his end to prevent all of those sacks.
Yeah, part of it is, you know, my footwork and that lining up with the play. That helps accelerate the clock for me. The other part is being decisive making a decision. And then the other part is also taking what the defense gives me, not trying to find that big play every time and be the young cat and, you know, want to go and, you know, get that big play, you know, big scramble play or anything like that. Sometimes it's just the check down over the ball, the flat, the second read that, you know, may not be, you know, something more than 5 yards.
Sounds good right now. Sounds like a dude who's realizing his own issues as they have contributed to sacks. Yes.
Groats, how do you feel about that?
I thought it was very interesting that he was that specific about those three things. What that says to me is, and it's not like we didn't hear that those kinds of things uttered in some organization last year or some sort of realm, but it sounds like footwork, decisiveness, and take what the D gives you is something of a motto from Ben Johnson. And we heard some of that last year, too, with the, hey, man, you can't play hero ball all the time. And again, you don't want to take away that kind of stuff. You're going to still see him flinging the ball. You're still going to see him off schedule. You're going to still see him doing daring things. But it sounds like they are starting to really drill those three things into him. And the footwork is something that was persistent throughout the whole day from everybody we talked to about Caleb.
He sounds good, man. He sounds like he's getting coached hard and he likes it. And he's like ready to accept some responsibility here and deal with it. We'll see what happens.
That's funny.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Speaks, it's funny that you brought up the hard coaching thing, because I specifically asked him that today about the hard coaching and, you know, is this, you know, be careful what you wish for type of thing. Is it jarring at all? And he basically said, no, I've had lots of hard coaching in my life. So he's still, Speaks, he's still embracing that.
Yeah. Well, walk us through some of the things that he needs to know.
Yeah, well, one thing that Ben Johnson talked about was, you know, giving players homework. And he gave Caleb Williams homework, and Ben didn't really share with us the specifics of the homework that he gave Caleb Williams, but guess what? Caleb Williams did share with us the specifics on the homework that he was given. And listen carefully, because again, we're about to hear Caleb Williams be really specific at one point on something specific again that he needs to work on.
Part of the homework is, some of it was footwork. Some of it was not necessarily homework, but just, you know, helping guideline the off season and, you know, what, you know, could, get through the playbook, you know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour each day. You know, it's 24 hours a day. If you can't give up an hour, 30 minutes of your day to go over the playbook, you know, you probably shouldn't be in this position. So it's just small things like that. But, you know, homework wise, it was mainly the footwork and then some left kind of short throws that, you know, in OTAs I was missing. And so worked on those every single day that I threw, and then, you know, worked on my footwork every single day that I, you know, was out there also.
Kids short got, throws to the left.
Kid's got a lot of work to do. And this is the time to do it. And he's like, man, you watch that quarterback show, Kirk Cousins sitting there with his like massive notebook of stuff that he's going through.
The obsessive compulsiveness of NFL quarterbacks is on full display.
Yeah, and you got to do it every day like that. So if that was something that Caleb needed to learn, that like 30 minutes every day, 1 hour every day, you want to be great at this or not? Let's go.
And eventually he's going to find that it's even more than that.
I'm sure.
If he wants to reach all these lofty goals, Lawrence. I mean, like, he talks about wanting to be not just good, but great. You know, he talked again today about wanting to throw for 4,000 yards. And the goal is to have a 70% completion rate. These things don't come if you're not working your ass off. And I think that Caleb Williams, I think he understands, or he's starting to understand, that those are the directions that he has to go in. The other thing from Caleb Williams, one more thing on just like specific things that he's working on or trying to get better at. Williams talked about the pre-snap procedure. Is it getting any better?
Yeah, the pre-snap procedure is, I mean, it goes from how fast I can get the call to get it to them as fluid and, you know, smooth as possible. And then being able to get up to the ball and get going. And, you know, if we have checks and alerts, it's not always having to, you know, maybe run through the whole cadence. It's like, all right, we see it. I know what's about to happen. You know, get to the next play. Let's get it going. Because that's one of our best friends, is being able to get up to the, you know, get up to the line, you know, make whatever we need to make, and then get rolling and put the defense on the heels.
It's the window dressing part of their offense in Detroit is critical to their success, that they want to make the defense think one thing and then punch them in the face with another. So I love that. And that was part of the conversation you guys were having with Caleb last year, when the idea of the getting the cadence right and using it as a weapon. We saw that Aaron Rodgers used that thing to get 5 yards when he needed it against the Bears whenever he wanted to. You want to see Caleb get to that point too, where he can steal some yards if he has to. And another thing, not that we keep going back to quarterback, but that's something else that we saw Jared Goff do inside of that documentary. So, yes, like I love hearing him talk about these things.
And guess what? Stay tuned, Lawrence, because at the end of this update, we are going to hear what Caleb Williams thinks about the Netflix quarterback show.
How about Thunderbirds? How about Thunderbirds? Are we talking about Thunderbirds?
Poor Ben Johnson gets up there today and says, everybody seen the Netflix special Thunderbirds? Crickets.
No.
No.
It's all right, gotta, though.
No. We haven't seen it. We have not seen that. But that's all coming up. All right. One of the big things that we're all going to be watching out here is the left tackle competition. And yes, by the way, Braxton Jones and Colston Loveland have been cleared to practice tomorrow. There's probably going to be a bit of a ramp up, but they are supposedly good to go. So Ben Johnson was asked today, guys, does Braxton Jones have the leg up in this competition? Because he is, believe it or not, young Braxton Jones is a veteran now, guys.
Yeah, I would like to think his experience will help him, but we're coming in with blank slates right now. So they're just because a guy's played and another guy hasn't in this league, we're going to let the competition play out and we'll see where it goes.
How challenging is it to juggle a three-man competition at left tackle? Like, two seems pretty basic. You split the reps. Braxton needs some time. You give him some time. But is three more challenging if you're
yeah, really good at all three? It's why everything's going to matter. Every play matters. It all is going to matter as we go through this thing. And so I can't tell you I've been through a three-man race before. And so each play is going to be evaluated, and they got to take full advantage of each opportunity that they get.
We should expect to see Darnell Wright
in this mix at left tackle, like at some point?
Our plan is to keep Darnell at the right side right now.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So he's not part of the competition then?
For the left side?
Yeah.
I'd say Karan's still part of that. Okay. Yep.
So good stuff, Grody, to get the clarity. Karan Amagaji will get the time as Braxton Jones is ramping up. And then I predict...
Say it like you mean it.
Karan will be kicked to the curb or the swing or something as Braxton and Ozzie Trapillo are locked and loaded as a two-man competition eventually.
Who else?
I still think... Darnell Wright has a better chance of playing left tackle than Karan Amagaji. I think you're right about that, Spiegs. It's interesting, man. I mean, I think there's a healthy debate going on right now between Braxton Jones and Ozzie Trapillo on who will get the start or who should get the start. I think in the ideal world, of course, it's Trapillo. But in a season in which it is, God, I don't know if I want to use the word must win for the Bears, but it's must be competent. It's must give your quarterback every opportunity to sprout and to be good. And is that with the veteran Braxton Jones,
which
I lean towards, or is it the rookie Trapillo who might be better?
They got to run the ball, man. They got to figure out who they can run the ball with, who they can have a functional offense with. It's a blank slate. I love that it's a blank slate.
Trapillo, I feel good about the idea that my coach is going to give me a chance to win that job.
Absolutely. And the pressure is on Braxton to show that you can play this position well enough to make the coach believe in you in all the facets. This will be good stuff. Just getting rolling.
Yeah, because now it's the first time really that it's real with Braxton. Like, there's an expectation. And again, there was an expectation last year too, and then Braxton Jones was injured for a lot of it. But this is for real, man. This ain't the first year of the rebuild where we're all watching in the Walter Payton Center, and all of a sudden Tevin Jenkins is second string, and there he goes to the for Braxton Jones goes to left. We're all like, what the hell is going on here? You could afford to do those things when you were in the midst of a rebuild. Now it's real. So we're gonna see how this all plays out. On the defensive side of the ball, guys, we were again treated to the presence of Grady Jarrett. Who ideally will be your three technique. Here's the interesting part about Grady Jarrett today. This is his 11th year in the league. Listen to this guy. He does not sound like a guy who is going to accept many veteran days off. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, for sure. I think the key is not ramping up. It's the key is going, you know, balls to the wall every day. And I think that's what's really helped me in my longevity is just going hard day in and day out. And this is the time where you really callous your body, get it right to be able to, so you can go sustain a long season and be healthy, because this is going to be the hardest time of the season. Well, you should make this the hardest time of the season, because you'll be able to from a physical standpoint, the demands throughout the week won't be as heavy as us throughout the week until we get to the game day. So this is the time where it's time to get hard, time to really challenge yourself, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, and you really push yourself to see how far you can go. And when the time do come, and that game time do come, you know what you got in the tank, what you got in the trunk to go reach back and get the job done, you know. So it's up to us to really push ourselves daily, and not reserve nothing, not ramp up. Obviously there's sports science to it. I mean, I'm not talking recklessness, but I'm saying from the mindset and the effort standpoint, why not put your best foot forward every day and let the rest take care of itself?
Oh, hell yeah.
If you look at Grady Jarrett and his career, 2023, he was injured and only played 8 games. But if you look at him since 2019, 16 games, 16 games, 17 games, 17 games, 8 games, 17 games last season.
You know why? Because he knows when it's time to get hard. That's August. It's July and August.
It's very important.
Anybody can get it, man. We ready. We're going to be coming.
Danny, really? Yeah.
We're flirting. We're flirting. We're flirting with a line.
Flirting with what?
And again, for some of our listeners, it may take 30 to 35 minutes once you take the medicine. You know what I mean?
But if it takes 4 hours,
then consult your doctor.
Call a doctor immediately.
But if
do it.
Obviously.
I mean,
obviously.
Radiothon.
If listening to Grady Jarrett didn't make you want to post an eggplant emoji for multiple reasons, then you're not a football fan.
Anybody can get it, man. We ready.
Yeah, anybody can get it.
It's coming for you, man.
God.
Just be ready.
He's so good at this because it's his 11th year. So he's so good at giving us one after another after another. God love
him. He was asked the little bit of context. I know we don't like context around here, but a little bit of context to that was he was asked, like, is there a quarterback in the division or in the league that you want to get after? And then he said what he said. So
everybody can get it.
Anybody can get it, man. We ready.
I think that's fair. Didn't you say that you had a treat for us?
We like treats. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You want a little treat? A little treat here from this is interesting. I would like I will ask you guys the question before I play the audio. But the question is, why do you think Caleb Williams reacted this way? What he was asked about, I believe it was Adam Hoge, and I left a question on there. But he was asked, hey, man, you know, are you watching the Netflix quarterback special, which does at times feature Ben Johnson? So here's Caleb on that.
Caleb, did you watch the last one quarterback show on Netflix? You didn't?
Nope.
I was going to ask you, any takeaways from Ben Johnson?
I watched it.
What did you learn from not watching it?
Keep going. Next play.
Thank you.
I would recommend.
Why,
that
guys? Why was he so playfully defiant about watching the quarterback show where his head coach is featured?
Does he want to know everything? Watch it.
Well, do you think he actually did watch it and he's lying and saying nope? I mean, why? Yeah, why is he playfully defiant about not watching? Because like,
there's a lot he could learn about Ben Johnson, the quarterback position overall, and what was expected of Jared Goff.
Well,
that's it. The Goff factor. Like, maybe he doesn't want to have anything to do with any comparisons to Goff.
Well,
too damn bad, because they're going to happen.
Well, but he's got the source to actually talk with. How about this? I wonder, and they should follow up on this at some point. I wonder if Ben Johnson told him not to watch it. Like, hey, man, don't watch it. That's manicured TV. That is not real. That's not process. You and I, we'll work on process. Let's do that, as opposed to you watching and thinking you got to do what Jared did. He's 3 years in my system. I could see Ben Johnson saying, let's focus on what you and I are doing, as opposed to the entertainment product. Couldn't you see
I'll
that?
I will ask Ben Johnson if that is, you know, if he encourages players to watch him in Netflix, or if he just thinks it's a silly, you know, entertainment piece that players shouldn't pay attention to.
And we're getting to the point where we have to ask him if he has stock in Netflix, because
he keeps going there. But I could see him. Caleb's doing what Ben says, you know.
So that's true.
I could see him following that mandate.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there is a few other things here, guys. Ryan Poles, really interesting day with Ryan Poles. He did not take questions today. And like, I've been covering the Bears since 2018. There are a lot of guys in the media room, including, you know, Dan Wiederer, who's been covering the Bears since, you know, 2012, 2013. And Dan told me today that this is the first time that he's ever showed up at training camp and the general manager, whomever it was, did not take questions. You know, he did make a statement. He cleared some things up with the injuries that I told you about. He did say in about his contract, all he said was, in terms of the contract that came out while we were on break, he says he's not going to go into the details, but then he praised the people that supported him, the people that work with him, the people that work for him, the people for whom he works. But then he quickly got back to, but this is all about, you know, what the football team needs. So again, they are dodging the question or putting it on record that he ever got a contract extension. So I don't understand it. I don't understand.
It's Ben's show, Mark. It's Ben Johnson's show, and that's the point of today. We had a good conversation about this at 3 o'clock. Listeners ought to use the rewind function. I enjoyed our conversation about it because I think that's very, very intentional. The head coach is the boss now.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's it. Right. Like, let's gloss over this. But, I mean, at some point in time, like, it's okay to take a bow and to say, and I don't know if they were afraid of the negative reaction or the questions that might have come his way. all of that stuff, but we just didn't get a lot of clarity on that. A couple other things I know you guys got to get out of here, but did not mention that the Bears did sign a couple of players. They signed a veteran, a name that is probably familiar to people. They signed a cornerback, Trey Flowers, 7-year vet, 95 games in his career, 44 starts. They also signed a pass rusher in Tano Enyo, Pasenio, I knew I was going to botch that, but they get him in here. He played in New Orleans, where Dennis Allen coached. He played in Kansas City, where Ryan Poles was what's roaming. So you have those two guys added to the roster as well. And I think I told you that Braxton Jones and Colson Loveland should be good to go when the Bears have their first practice tomorrow. And we will hear from Dennis Allen tomorrow as well.
Ooh, I like that. I can't wait to hear you guys talk and chop things up with him. Groats, we appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Bye, guys. Bears.
Bears is right. Cubs. Why? Because an old Cub, literally, is back, and he's pitching tonight for the other team. We'll talk about that next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
Our buddy Rex Hudler is in town.
Hey, man, Rich Hill is coming up. Rich Hill is going to be there. He's 45 years old. He might even pitch in this series. Can you imagine playing at 45 in MLB? What do you think of it, Rex?
Oh, I see him. He's playing catch out there, and it's beautiful. Was he a Cubby, too? What, this is 14, 15 teams he's played with?
Yep.
With, I don't know how many. I think he's tied Jackson. Edwin Jackson? I'm not sure. Okay, last name is Jackson, of the most teams ever played for. But anyway, yeah, we have an open tomorrow. I don't know if they've announced it yet, but he's here. He probably might be our starter.
Rich Hill, back in baseball.
Dick Mountain just wants to pitch.
Dick Mountain?
Dick Mountain? You better believe it. Dick Mountain is going to the bump against Matthew Boyd tonight. The whole thing is pretty crazy. By the way, the Cubs will line up like this. Horner will bat leadoff and play second. Tucker is in right, batting second. Suzuki is your DH, which is great news. I'll get to that in a minute. Carson Kelly will catch. Pete Crow Armstrong will bat fifth and play center field. Dansby Swanson will play shortstop. Ian Happ is in left. And then Justin Turner at first and Matt Shaw at third base.
Michael Busch gets the night off, at least for the start, against Dick Hill. Saya back at DH because PCA is back in center field. Saya looked okay last night.
Well, there was that one ball where he was like, oh, and he made it. He made it there. He didn't look as comfortable, but he's not a center fielder, so I don't expect him to look comfortable.
I thought the one where he got to the outfield, he got to the ivy, got to the wall and made that catch.
Yeah, that was pretty nice.
That was a pretty long run.
There was also that weird thing where the umpire, like, what are you doing? Like, the guy clearly hurt himself, and it's like, mm-hmm. Why don't you give him a couple minutes before you call a pitch clock violation on the guy? I mean, this, what is happening here? By the way, tonight, the Cubs take on the Royals at Wrigley Field. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:30. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer have the first pitch at 7:05. On The Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network.
May 20th of 2006 was Rich Hill's first appearance, drafted by the Cubs. A member
Sorry,
of the
you're
Cubs.
Earlier, actually. Rich Hill debuted in 2005. 2005. We have a moment from that 2006 season, but 2005, he pitched in the same game Greg Maddux pitched.
Oh, yeah. No, I knew that. I was reading off the doc there. I was mixing it up. So, yes, Greg Maddux pitched, and it's an unbelievable career. 25 players in MLB right now who have appeared in at least one game this year were born after he was drafted. 25 players.
Yeah.
Born after he was drafted.
I was halfway kidding where he, what, 17 or 18 year old when Nico was born?
Yeah, I know. Jack Calleanone was 1 year old when
that's wild.
When Rich Hill, his teammate, was born. Tanny, what do you want to hear first? Rich Hill, that moment from 2006? Want to hear that?
Yeah, let's do it.
South side of Chicago, home of the defending world champion White Sox, ending an 88-year drought. And on the mound, young left-hander for the Cubs, one of three rookies that's been in their rotation pretty much the whole year, is Rich Hill.
Rich Hill, you see the numbers on him. They're not real impressive at this point, but he's got a very good upside.
Got a fastball and lifts a fly ball into short left field. Pierzynski wanting to know, am I going? He is going.
Merton, stutter step. He's under it, makes the catch. Pierzynski tags. Here comes the throw home. It is safe at home plate. Pierzynski knocked over the catcher, Barrett. Oh, there's a fight behind home plate. Both benches have emptied. This is going to go on. Barrett punched Pierzynski right in the grill. Now everybody's out, and here come the bullpen.
Tadahito Iguchi singled into center field his first time up. He looked at strike one with the bases loaded. High fly ball into left field, hit pretty well. Merton back at the wall. Goodbye. Fireworks aplenty on the south side of Chicago. A five-run inning. Hill is gone.
I think Tanny had a lot of fun putting that sound together.
There's a lot going on there. 2006, so congrats to the White Sox. That's Thom
Bredeman.
They
won 90 games that year.
As Thom Bredeman and Darren Jackson on the call together.
Yeah, DJ had a nice national run as a color guy.
And then you heard Farmeo.
And Chris Singleton on our radio call here on the score, my favorite moment of that, oh! After AJ gets punched, oh!
And that's Rich Hill on the mound when AJ gets punched.
Yeah.
That's Rich Hill on the guy tonight. Everybody, we talk about that moment like it was arcane, ancient history.
And the celebration of 20 years ago with the Sox and how old a lot of those guys look now. And then Rich Hill's still here.
That's incredible.
Good on Thom for actually recognizing the 88-year drought that resulted in a World Series title for your Chicago White Sox. Other things happen.
Notice that.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad we got to that. That's amazing. Did we ask counsel about – Craig Counsell was asked for advice.
This came up on the show earlier today about Craig Counsell facing Rich Hill.
Yeah, because you looked at the numbers, right, Lawrence?
There aren't any. He did not face him.
Wow.
I thought I was just bad at research, so I sent Alex on it.
And then I thought I was bad at research. I'm like, I can't find it. But no, they never face each other.
You might be bad at research. We're deciding right now.
Wow, that seemed unnecessary.
Trying to work on that. Remember the whole center field thing with Saya yesterday? Left a mark.
Also, didn't play in center field. Yeah. No record of it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So yeah, you're not bad at research. It's just websites are bad.
So did he give advice, though, on this?
Would you tell the guys about how you hit against Rich Hill?
Oh, my God.
I didn't face Rich Hill.
Really?
No. I played for good managers.
they would put you in the lineup against a good left-hander.
That's exactly right.
Oh, that is outstanding.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Oh, God, but Bruce assumed that he had faced Rich Hill. Nope. Played for good managers.
Yep. But when, look, I appreciate Bruce asking that question.
Me too.
And the reason why is that this almost never comes up. There's never a, how long Craig Counsell been a manager? He's been a manager a long damn time. And for a guy pitching that played in your era and you've been managing for a decade, right? Hasn't Craig Counsell been managing for a decade? Yeah. You've been out of the game a decade. This dude's still pitching.
Do you know how many teams he's played for since he turned 40?
Six?
Seven. This will be the seventh team that the man has played for since turning 40 years old. And he's going to be the oldest player ever to pitch in a game for the Royals, surpassing Gaylord Perry.
Okay.
You ready to eat your words on the researching ability of young Alex Kuhn?
Yes, I am.
All right, Rich Hill allowed one hit and recorded a strikeout career against Dave Roberts.
Oh, so look at that. You found a manager that Rich Hill has faced. That's just good research. That's solid stuff.
Maybe Stephen Vogt?
What about Will Venable?
Yeah, I guess there are a couple managers that we can look and see if they... Venable would probably be one of them, too.
Sure. How about Rocco Baldelli?
We're just spoiling a category here, you know, on the fly.
I bet Rocco Baldelli's faced him. Yeah, you got a few. Alex Cora, you got a lot of work to do.
No, you don't. The show's almost busy. Over.
No, man, you got to get
one at bat,
done.
Zero hits for Rocco Baldelli career against Rich Hill.
Oh, okay.
Kind of seems to me like Alex pretty good at the research thing.
He's not bad.
The old researcheroo.
As long as there's record of something happening, then I will find it. If there's not, I may struggle to find it.
That's fair, actually. That's fair. I'll give you that. Yeah, doing research on stuff that did not actually happen. That's fine.
When we come back, obviously, with the passing of a musical icon, we have to pay homage. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Behold your new Satan! What? What's that? What's with the ball?
Artie?
Holy s***! No!
You can do it, Ozzy! Bite his freaking head off!
Oh, that's the right track. I'm so glad you went there. It's the godfathers of heavy metal, the band Black Sabbath. Ozzy Osbourne passed away today. Totally became like a parody of himself and a willing joke in reality TV along the way.
There was a moment where it felt like he was totally in on the joke and we were in on the joke with him.
Yeah.
And then it was like, wait a minute, is Ozzy actually in on the joke or is he being exploited? And then I remember like watching that show and be like,
It
kind of went from, oh, this is quaint to, I don't like this.
I understand. I understand that moment. In recent years, as his health was failing, he reconnected with his old bandmates. They played a farewell show 3 weeks ago in Birmingham, England, with like Tony Iommi and Geezer Butler. Like all of them were back together. They played a show 3 weeks ago. And then today he has passed. I love that first album so much. And you can hear so much music that came after it inside the influences of that first album. But in Chicago and in a sports sense, he's famous for the worst one of all time? The worst seventh inning stretch of all time?
Well, we have a new candidate this year.
We really do. The willfully, intentionally bad Alex Cooper as she chose to do her TikTok bit all over the sanctity of our home. But Ozzy was, man.
He was rushed.
He was confused.
Jim and Ozzy Osbourne!
Chicago, I want to hear a real, real crazy crowd start singing with me. Are you ready? Are you ready? I can't hear you. Are you ready? One, two, three, and let's go out to the border. Let's go out to the river. Take me in. I don't remember what I have to do. And I've run out of the garden. And I've run out of the garden. 43-2-3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Yeah, let's get some runs. Come on, don't mess around. Let's get some runs, guys.
Don't mess around.
He kind of made up for it at the end.
Well, there's a lot of passion there.
We do not
talk about that one enough. I'd say of all the possible words that he could have sung correctly, I think he hit 9, 7.
He said he wanted everyone to sing along with him. He wasn't kidding. I don't remember what I have to do.
I don't want you to sing along. I need you to sing along desperately.
It's not shocking. This is a guy who didn't grow up with baseball.
No, well, right. And the only songs that he's been singing for, you know, the last 40, 50 years, 60 years are his own that he remembers just enough. Well, not anymore, but like the whole crowd would sing along and everybody would sing along and he'd be like singing along with himself and all of that. That's a big ask. Learn a new song. No, I cannot.
No, I don't think so. Shout out to Ozzy and Black Sabbath because I think that they also really helped set off Marvel. Because at the end of the original Iron Man movie, when he says, you know, I am Iron Man. They go right into it. They go right into the song. And it's just so perfect They did a lot of cool stuff in that first movie
That's cool.
You know, it wasn't just Black Sabbath. You know, they also gave some love to Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the Iron Man streak, a score staple over the years, you know, the Iron Man streak on shows.
That's
you know?
True. All of that. You know, I mean, that music was so, like, badass and, like, willfully satanic or pseudo-satanic. He was like, people are scared when they go to the movies. It's going to work if people are scared when they go to see bands, too. And so, like, that was the idea. Why not scare the hell out of people? And it worked.
Tanny, I'm with you. They should play that tonight.
Yep. I've noticed a couple of nights since the incident.
A lot of Harry Carey.
There's a lot of Harry, which is good, but I think tonight they should run Ozzy and Sharon for the stretch.
I think that's a really good idea. Crazy show today. Hit the rewind function on the Odyssey app and go back and listen. Great interview with Nico Horner and a lot of conversation about Rhino. That is worth your time for sure. We'll get more in the weeds on some of the football stuff tomorrow after the Cubs game is done. For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show this show every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor after Cubs baseball. There's going to be a lot of Bears talk, too. Hopefully the Cubs can get a couple wins before we get ourselves back on the air. And then we'll discuss it with you here on The Score.
But I got to let you go, Maddie. I'm sorry. I got stuff to do here.
You're good.